All right, so mostly we're going to be in the New Testament. And so if someone wants to turn to the book of Romans, somebody say, I got it. All right, we got one. Somebody turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. Somebody say, I got it. All right, I got one back here already. So I got a Romans, I got a Corinthians. I'll tell you where specifically in a minute, and you may get more than one. Somebody turn to Ephesians and put your finger there. All right, Ephesians, we got one. And that'll get us through the first page. Somebody will be close to Acts here soon. The person, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is God. That's a complete sentence. The Holy Spirit is God. The Bible identifies Him as one of three persons existing as one God. That is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In this lesson, we will study who the Holy Spirit is and what His presence and ministry are in a believer's life. So, John chapter 14 and 17 uses personal pronouns such as he or him are used to refer to the Holy Spirit rather than it. List the number of times he or him is used in John 14, 17. Read it loud. I'm sorry, I did say Romans. Hold on, let me get it. You're already there. I did. I skipped over John 14. I'm so sorry. You got both. Say it loud. All right. Hers version had four times. I had six times in the one I read, but it refers to the Holy Spirit as he or him. And it is a personal pronoun. It is not an it, right? And I think that's important to understand. And I had a professor, Howard Payne, used to talk about the person of Jesus. In order for Jesus to be who he was, he had to be fully God and fully man. The Holy Spirit is God, and we cannot separate the two. It is God and the Spirit of God. My class loves it, but the Greek straight translation of the word Holy Spirit means helper. It means the one who comes alongside of. Para is the first part of the Greek word kletos. Para kletos, to pair with, to come alongside of. And so that is what God has given us as a helper in our world. And that's encouraging to me because I know we don't have to do this alone, right? We don't have to walk this Christian life alone. Sometimes we think we do. Sometimes we act like we do. Sometimes we put it upon ourselves and say, poor old pitiful me, and I'm in this all alone, and we're not. If nobody else is here, we still have the Holy Spirit, the one that God has promised to give us to come alongside of, and Jesus promised as well in the New Testament. So here are some attributes of personality, and that is the intellect. He possesses the ability to know and understand reality. So Romans chapter 8, verse 27 says what? All right, so the Holy Spirit has a mind, right? He knows the mind and he makes intercession. He knows our mind, he makes intercession for us. 1 Corinthians 2:10. Allison, do you have that one? First Corinthians 2:10 says, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." So the Holy Spirit searches what? All things, even the depths of God. Now, in our Sunday school class, we paused on this for a moment because I want you to really let that sink in to what He has given us access to. By Him sending us the Helper to come alongside of us, He has given us the one who searches all things and even knows the depths of God. So that tells me that I might ought to listen to him. If he knows the depths of God, he knows what's best, because the Holy Spirit is what? God. The Holy Spirit is God. He searches all things. Verse following that in 1 Corinthians 2:11, I got it as well since I'm here. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. And so the Spirit knows the thoughts, both God's and ours, right? He knows the thoughts. So intellect, the Spirit's smart, right? I'm not. I'll just admit that right now. I'm a college failout, couldn't go back, and did terrible, and I get it. I'm not smart, but the Holy Spirit has intellect. Number two, emotion. He possesses the ability to experience emotion. Record the emotion attributed to the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 4:30. TJ, did you say you had that one? Ephesians 4:30. All right, so record the emotion attributed to the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 4:30. What is the emotion? To not grieve. Don't disappoint them, right? Don't disappoint the Holy Spirit. And so emotion, he possessed the ability to experience emotion. He possesses the ability to determine or act decisively, all right? 1 Corinthians, I'm already there. Or anybody, Allison, are you still in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? 7 and 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 11. No, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 11. I think you're in the wrong place too. Here. 12, 7 and 11. I'm so sorry. All right. Go for it. Yep. All right. So, 7 says he's given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, and one and the same Spirit works all things. All right? So the decision or judgment in which the Holy Spirit demonstrates his attributes in 1 Corinthians 12, 7, 11 is that he gives the manifestation for your common good, right? It's for your good. It's not for your bad. It's for your good. It's not to harm you. And then he gives one and the same Spirit, distributing to each individually just as he wills, that he gives to each of us individually as only God can do. That's something that's always just absolutely blown my mind, that we can come in this room on Wednesday night, we can sit in Bible study, we can come on Sunday morning and hear a sermon, or we can all individually, each under our own, in our prayer closet, have our own Bible study, and God can speak to each one of us exactly what we need. And He does if we will but listen to Him. Acts 13, who has that one? Acts 13:2. Acts of the Apostle. Acts 13:2. All right, so he administers callings, right? The Holy Spirit spoke to them while they were ministering, and they said, set apart Barnabas and Saul. All right, so he administers callings upon our lives. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. We've said that. I felt the Holy Spirit prick my heart. I felt the Holy Spirit, or sensed the Holy Spirit leading me. We attribute that to God through the whole, by the Holy Spirit. Now, no surprise, attributes of who the Holy Spirit is are the same attributes of who God is and who Jesus is. And some that are attributed to the Holy Spirit is that it is omniscient, is omnipresent, He is eternal, and He is truth. And we can find those scripture references throughout the Bible as we, if we want to take the time to look those up. But the Holy Spirit is omniscient. What does omniscient mean? All-knowing. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, which means He's everywhere. He's like Santa Claus. He's everywhere. Holy Spirit is eternal, without beginning or end. And the Holy Spirit is truth. He has integrity, veracity, very integral. 2 Corinthians, if someone wants to turn there to 3:17, what is a key statement that shows that the Holy Spirit is God? 2 Corinthians 3:17. Y'all didn't know y'all was going to get a Bible drill tonight, did you? All right, so the statement that shows that the Holy Spirit is God, the Scripture says the Lord is what? That Spirit. It's the Lord. In Acts, back, I mean, I'm already there. In Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, the Scripture says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." So according to that scripture, lying to the Holy Spirit is the same thing as lying to God, because the Holy Spirit is God. And that's just a simple reference to point that out. The work of the Holy Spirit, according to, we're going to go to the Old Testament in the book of Psalms, and I told Conrad I might preach from Psalms, so I guess technically we're going to go there. Psalm 104 and verse 30 says, "Thou dost send forth thy Spirit, they are created, and thou dost renew the face of the ground." The Holy Spirit is active in creation, right? So the Holy Spirit is active in creation. Back in the Old New Testament, at the end, Peter. Well, I can't get past concordance. Peter 1, 20 and 21. Second Peter 1, 20 and 21. You got it? Who's got it? All right, so they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was active in prophecy. Again, lending to the idea or the thought or the fact that the Holy Spirit speaks. Another important fact out of the book of John that is concerning to the Holy Spirit. Let me get there. John chapter 15, I'm in 7. John 15 and 26 states that when the Helper comes, right? Helper, the Parakletos, the one who comes alongside. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you, the Father, from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness of me. The Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus Himself, of Christ. He attests that Jesus, in fact, is the Christ. John 16, 14 also says that he shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. So he discloses or reveals Christ to us. And these are the red letter words, by the way. And that John 16 and verse 13 also says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Maybe that should be more of our prayer throughout the day. Is, Lord, whatever I speak should only come from you. Because I know we're all guilty of saying things that we know didn't come from God, right? And we're like, maybe I shouldn't say that. So maybe that should be our prayer when we get up in the morning. Is, Lord, help me to speak rightly. And so also this is a testimony to who Christ is, in that he will not speak of his own accord or of himself. He will speak according to the direction of the Lord. Not on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. The ministry. This is where it gets fun. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. Also in the book of John in chapter 16. And since I'm there, I'll read it. It says, but I tell you in verse 7, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Jesus speaking these words. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And so, what special work does the Holy Spirit do according to that passage in verse 8? He will what? He will convict the world concerning what? Sin and righteousness and judgment. And so the Holy Spirit, the work or the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is that he is going to bring conviction and of sin and righteousness and judgment. And then in John 3, turn back a few pages. John chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. It says, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So by whom are sinners born into God's kingdom? By the Spirit. It is by the Spirit that we are born into the kingdom, by God Himself. Titus. Somebody want to flip to Titus, and then somebody in 1 Corinthians. Beat me there, you can read it. Say, I got it. Titus 3, 5, and 6. All right. So what work does the Holy Spirit do when a person is saved? He washes away, he regenerates, he renews. That is what the Holy Spirit does in our life. And if you have made a profession of faith, that is a regeneration that you well remember. And you remember that refreshing and that release of everything that we're not able to accomplish that He is, and Him doing that for us. And it's such a sweet time. Who's got 1 Corinthians? First Corinthians 12:13. I'm so sorry.
For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body. Jews and Greeks, slaves and free,
But what does the Spirit do? It brings unity. The Spirit brings unity. I think that's very important for the body of believers that we call a church to understand that when we come together and we're confessing that we're coming together and we're seeking the Lord and seeking the Spirit working in our life, and if we walk out in disharmony, we're missing something here because the Spirit brings unity, not disharmony. And so we've got to be very careful to keep our eyes focused upon the Lord and remove our pride and our selfish wants and seek, truly, truly seek the direction that the Lord has for us, that He might keep unity in us as we strive to keep our eyes focused on Him. The baptism by the Spirit occurs only once at the time of salvation. So Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. I am there. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." And 14 says, "And who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory." So how does the Holy Spirit guarantee a believer's salvation? By sealing us. He seals us in Him. The sealing of the Holy Spirit, a seal was an ancient device, usually a signet ring or a cylinder seal, engraved with the owner's name or with a particular design. It was used to seal goods, to demonstrate ownership, attest a document's authenticity, or impress an early form of a trademark. A seal indicates ownership and security. It is the guarantee of future blessings. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is God's promise of our inheritance of the future. That is a great assurance that God has done for us and that He has given to us. I'm going to leave it at that and just let that be an encouragement to you, because I always talk to our Bible study class about this, but I don't know where you are. I know where we as a family, my personal family, have been over the last year. And if it hadn't been for God working in our lives through the Holy Spirit, I don't know how we would have ever made it. It was a very, very difficult year and a hard year, but God continued to pour His Spirit out in our lives and give us direction. And it's that assurance that we live, we walk, and we have to move in every day. When we doubt, when we struggle, when we don't know if we're going to get off the operating table, we just don't know. Or if we don't get off the operating table and the Lord takes us home, we walk in that assurance of the Holy Spirit. He's going to give us the strength to make it through the days. He's going to speak to us. And when we pass from this earth, He's going to take us home and allow us to enter into the Holy, usher us into the Holy Spirit, into the presence of God. And so I hope that encourages you tonight and reminds you that you're not alone. And also, as a church, we need to be reminded that we should be focused upon the Spirit. So, questions, comments? I didn't follow Conrad's mode of operation. Sorry. Let me pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word, Lord. I know tonight we were a whirlwind of a million scriptures. But Lord, all of them testify to who You are. All of them testified to the fact that You have given us the Holy Spirit to come alongside of us. It's just that simple. We thank You for it, Lord. I pray that we take this opportunity, Lord, to allow that message, that word, that scripture to bring glory to You, Lord, and help us just to pause and remember we have You right here by us as a helper. We thank You for that.